Hi there, my name is Hank and I'm an addict.
Hi Hank.
Grateful to be here and grateful that you're here. And Jimmy, Brian, the rest of you guys, thank you for having this platform. This is awesome, you know. I come to this part of the meeting excited, nervous, grateful, all boiled into one. You know, just listening to the speakers that I've heard up to this point lets me know that, you know, how God directed me on the path that I've had. You know, I came to California. I was running from Chicago, you know, the south side of Chicago. I was broken. Lonely, disillusioned, everything that goes with this disease that we have, you know. I had disappointed everybody that was near and dear to me, and I was coming to California on a whim. I had heard that somebody or this institution in California fixed people like me. And I ended up at this institution on the beach of Santa Monica called Synanon. And this was the first place that I had ever seen an addict that used like me that was clean, other than going to jail or whatever, you know. And this place didn't have any 12 steps or any of that, you know. They just believed in abstinence, and basically it was a cult. And I often think about that because in this same year of 1976, there was this organization, Jim Jones had this organization that was taking people to Guyana. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I had run into his organization, I was so broken and so desperate that I would have joined his organization. But, you know, God had other plans. Anyway, Synanon didn't work for me, or it did work for me. I got clean. I was clean for, you know, I was abstinent. I'll put it that way. And I thought that was it. You know, like a lot of new people that come into our great program, we think that just putting down the drugs is it, you know. That's the ball game. So I left, $1.25 in my pocket. I was with another guy, and we ended up on Skid Row in Los Angeles. And sometimes when you think the worst thing that could happen to you, it turns out being the best thing that could happen to you, because down there on Skid Row, going in and out of missions and stuff, I got 12-stepped. And it wasn't in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, it was in another program. But at this point in my life, I was willing to accept any kind of help that was there. You know, and I got into this program, and this was in April of 1976. And I started going to these 12-step program, and I, you know, eventually got up off Skid Row and got a job. And, you know, I did what a lot of addicts like me at the time did. I got an old lady and she had a house, so I had a house, and she had a car, so I had a car. And I got this job in North Hollywood. And eventually I moved to North Hollywood. And this is where I ran into this guy called Jimmy Kay. And somebody, you know, I was listening, and I'm so fortunate because I was listening to our previous speakers. And the way I look at it now, it was almost like a roadmap that was made for me, you know, because I got this job in North Hollywood, and eventually I moved on my own to North Hollywood. And I actually live within walking distance to Jimmy Kay's house. And I met Jimmy at that Rafted meeting that you know, some of our previous speakers had been talking about. And he mentioned this program called Narcotics Anonymous. And he explained a little bit about what Narcotics Anonymous was about. And, you know, and it interests me. So I started going to meetings of Narcotics Anonymous. And the meeting that I would go to, or the meetings that I would go to, was at, you know, Survivors Club that everybody was talking about. And, you know, I have a sponsee that says, you know, I'm kind of low key in the program, and I don't know whether that's good or bad, but, you know, I wasn't big in conferences and all this stuff in service, but one of the things that I'm grateful for is that I did make friends with Jimmy. I wasn't like a best friend or nothing like that. I was another addict that he opened his doors to. And there were times when I would leave work at lunch and things had gone wrong at work, I would run over to Jimmy's house. And Jimmy had this open door policy and he welcomed me in. And at that time, like the other speakers were talking about, everything came from Jimmy's house, as far as I know. And, you know, he'd have these IPs and he'd set me down and he'd ask me if I want a cup of tea, and I'd sit down with the tea, and he'd actually put me to work, because he'd have me folding these IPs as I talked. And every time I left his house, I forgot what I even came over there for, because, you know, just through that interaction of one addict helping another, it had relieved me from the problem that I had, you know. And I watch Jimmy. I'm a people watcher. I don't necessarily take people at face value for what they say. I watch what they do. And I watched this man and how he had this exuberance for this program for Narcotics Anonymous. And I mean, it was off the charts. He loved this program, Narcotics Anonymous. There was no doubt about that, you know. And as far as, you know, the service I do is low key. But there are two things that stick out as I think about those days. And one of the things that sticks out the most is that in 1978, I was over at Jimmy's house, and like I say, I came to California in April of 1976, and I started going to these meetings, but I didn't get, you know, I didn't stop using until 76, November. So I had relapsed. So Jimmy had heard that I had relapsed when I went back to Chicago. And I had gone back to Chicago because I wanted to show everybody how good I was doing. And that didn't work out too well. But anyway, Jimmy had heard about this, and he wanted to, he asked me if I would do him a favor. And I said, of course. You know, he said, I hear you going back to Chicago again. I said, yeah. He said, well, you know, they want to start meetings back there in Chicago. And I was wondering if you would take this starter package with you when you go back there. And wherever you stay, I've got a guy that'll meet you there. And, because they're anxious to get these meetings started in Chicago. I said, sure, you know. So I took the starter package and I went, and I stayed with my older sister back there. And the guy did come. My sister lived in the Hyde Park district of Chicago. And he came, and I gave him the starter package, and, you know, we chit chat a little bit. And it was a done deal. I came back to California and I saw Jimmy again, and Jimmy said, how did that go? You know, I said, oh, it went great. You know, the guy came, he picked up the package. We, you know, did a little chit chat and that was it. And he said, great. You know, and he dropped it, you know. And I really didn't realize what had happened in that whole situation. It took me a while to really understand what happened in that situation. I thought that I was just going back there, you know, patting myself on the back because I had done this big thing, you know, for Chicago, my hometown. But later I realized that, and this will give you an indication of my perception of Jimmy. Jimmy knew that I got loaded the last time that I went to Chicago. And what he did in that situation was gave me a responsibility. And he figured that if I had this responsibility to go back there and give this guy this starter kit, maybe, just maybe, I would stay clean, you know? And when that dawned on me, it just enhanced my appreciation for this man, you know? I love that man, you know? The other incident, as far as what I consider service, was that in 1979, Jimmy wanted us to get together and because he wanted to spread this message. Jimmy had this vision that Narcotics Anonymous could be worldwide. And, you know, I was young in the program. I just, you know, I thought that was way out there. But anyway, in 1979, he got a few of us together and had this meeting at Survivors Club. And it was Jimmy and Bob and Betty, and I remember David M. was there, and Henry S. was there, and Fawn was there. And we all got in this circle, and Jimmy wanted us to just talk about Narcotics Anonymous and how it helped us. And as we talked, it was filmed, you know, and Jimmy's idea was that he wanted to film this and send it out and let other people, other addicts know that there was help, you know, and it went off, and it went off pretty well, you know. Those were the two big incidents that I could remember in my early recovery, you know, dealing with service in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm a low-key guy. My service is more in, you know, at the meeting level, area level, and with new people. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I had some great teachers. I call them giants, you know, and I watched them, you know, Bob and Jimmy. You know, I watched these people and I watched how they interacted with addicts. They loved addicts, you know, and they didn't care if you had, you know, how much time you had. And like I said, Jimmy, you know, he developed the friendship with me and I was new to the program, you know, and I respect that, you know. So that's how I work in the program now. I love new people, you know. I love new people. And what I know about new people is, and what I've learned about new people, is that it's not so much what, they don't look at so much about what we know here in Narcotics Anonymous or how much we've learned and da-da-da-da. They want to know that we care, you know, and that's very important. And I've learned that over the years, you know. I love this program. you know, I still believe newcomers are the lifeblood of this program. And I still believe that Narcotics Anonymous has a lot of room to grow. You know, we've grown in leaps and bounds over the years, you know. You know, just thinking about going to the few meetings that we had back then. Like I said, after 79, in 81, I moved back to Los Angeles. And I think somebody mentioned that in the city of Los Angeles, greater LA, there was only one meeting, and that was the House of Yehuda. And I believe Henry S. started that meeting, you know. So when I moved back to Los Angeles, you know, it struck me, you know, we need to have NA meetings here, you know. I mean, I didn't want to drive from LA to the Valley just for a meeting when I knew that we could have meetings in Los Angeles. So I ran into this guy, Smiley, and I remember Bob Stewart also. You know, we went on this mission to start meetings in South Central, or as they call it now, Greater LA. And we started meetings in Greater LA, you know, all over, from that one meeting, the House of Uhuru. It's now grown to, I can't even keep count, you know. All I know is that if you go to Los Angeles today, you can go to a meeting any time of day, you know, and I feel special about that, you know. I still feel special about being a part of the growth of that, you know. This program has given me so much. You know, I'll never be able to repay what this program has given me, you know. And this particular setting, you know, I'm still the kind of guy that loves to have hugs. I love to see body language from other people. I love the interaction that we have in Narcotics Anonymous. But this is the best next thing, you know, and somebody mentioned earlier today that we have to become flexible. And that's one of the things that I've learned over the years, is that I try my best to keep an open mind. You know, I try not to get too rigid about what I've learned here in Narcotics Anonymous, because that's not a good place for an addict like me. You know, I have to go along with the rest of society. This Zoom thing is one of the things we do now until it's okay for us to get back in our gatherings. But I'm sure that we'll be able to get back in regular meetings. But in the meantime, what I'm doing with this time that we've got in isolation is trying to get a better understanding about some of the feelings I have, some of the emotions I have, just get a better understanding of me. Because I've learned that this is what this whole thing is about, learning more about me, you know, how I tick, you know. I still attend a lot of meetings. You know, I retired about 4 years ago. I have a home group in Santa Clarita, California. It's on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Courage to Change. And all of my sponsees know that Thursday night, 7 o'clock, that's where I'll be, you know, if they want to get in touch with me, you know. I love this program. Other than that Thursday night meeting, though, I go to meetings every day. I go to a 9 o'clock meeting every day in Santa Clarita. I've got a Wednesday night meeting that I go to on Wednesdays in Sherman Oaks. And I still attend meetings in Greater LA, because I consider myself an honorary member of Greater LA. You know, I like that title. You know, I just love this process. I love the person that God has turned me into. And it's only through this process that has happened, you know. I know there might be a lot of new people that are on this platform. And I just want to let you know that, you know, the people, including me and the others that have spoken, we didn't get this time just overnight. We were like you, you know, desperate, lonely, wondering if this was going to work for us. And all I can say is that this program, there's no debate about whether this program works. This program has worked for thousands. And like somebody said, you know, Jimmy would be so proud. You know, he had this vision that this program would be worldwide. And that vision has come to pass, you know. I did something before the meeting that I swore to my daughter that I wouldn't do. I didn't want to see how many participants were going to be at the meeting because that would only screw me up even more. But I did. And I started looking at people, and I saw people from Puerto Rico, and I saw people from India, and I saw people from Canada and Spain. And, you know, I love this program, you know. I love this program because I know that this program works for addicts like me. We have the language that only other addicts can understand. And that's why I love it, you know. So if you're new to this process, you know, you've heard it before I came on. You know, you can get clean. You can get clean and stay clean and lead a good life. You know, there are some things you're going to have to do. But I promise you, if you do those things, good things will happen. You know, I look back and, you know, when I look back, I came to this program a belligerent non-believer in God. I didn't even want to believe in God. And the out that this program gave me was that they told me that I could build my own concept of God. And I've done that. And that concept has changed over the years a number of times, you know. But as I look back, I think about the path that I've come. And I think about the grace of God. He could have given this gift to a doctor, a lawyer, psychiatrist. He could have given this gift to a person of royalty. But he looked down on me, this little black kid from the south side of Chicago, desperate and lonely, confused, who had screwed up his entire life, 29 years old, thinking that life was over. The only thing that I had going was that I had this gift of desperation. And God gave me this gift. You know, I'll be forever grateful. I'll be forever grateful to the people that have paved the way for me. And as I continue in this process of recovery, I know that I have a responsibility. Regardless of how much time I've got to repay that gift, you know, and I do that by helping other addicts, you know. And diversity is our gift. I'll say that again. Diversity is our gift. I don't care if you're short, tall, big, small, black, white, pink, I don't care. If you have a problem with addiction, I feel responsible for sharing with you what has worked for me for over 43 years. You know, that's my responsibility. So, you know, I'm grateful that this platform was here. Glad to be a part of it. You know, like I say, if you're new, my prayers go out to you. We'll be back in meetings, I'm sure, soon. So with that, I'm going to sign off and listen to our next speaker. And thank you guys for putting up with me. Thank you.
Hank, thanks, man. Thanks for sharing. Awesome.